You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Harrison Fagan. This is 2 days in a row for both Harrison and me. I'm sure everybody out there feels hashtag blessed. Harrison, how are you feeling today?
Feeling pretty hashtag blessed, Anthony. I am excited because you, of all people, know how much I love the trade machine and how much I love coming up with theoretical trades. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about Avery Bradley, who the Lakers apparently have made an offer of. The offer was just Jordan Clarkson, right?
Yeah.
The Lakers are like, the way that the Lakers are using Jordan Clarkson is how Jordan Clarkson uses Jordan Clarkson's DM slides. They're just like, they just jump right in there. They're just like, hey, we'll give you Clarkson for him. Deal or no deal? Deal? No deal?
Oh, man. Remember when we were told that the Lakers weren't going to be leaking?
They're just whipping Clarkson right out.
Remember when we were told that the Lakers weren't going to leak information? Like that they were going to be watertight and airtight?
No, Anthony. What you don't understand is that, well, actually, I mean, to be honest, this leak definitely came from the Pistons because it was from, like, a local Pistons beat writer who I highly doubt, like, Rob Pelinka was texting and being like, hey, guess what? I offered Jordan Clarkson. Like, that was a Pistons leak. So I honestly can't give them too much crap for this one.
Yeah, that's fair. All right. So as Harrison said, though, we are going to talk about Avery Bradley. We're going to, I think it gives us a avenue to make a larger point about what the Lakers will be looking to do as they near the trade deadline and what they're hoping to do in terms of building their team or acquiring free agents. So that'll happen at some point in this conversation. As always, though, make sure you guys are following the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, where Harrison writes, Lakers Outsiders, where I write. Harrison is at HM Fagan on Twitter. I'm at Anthony Irwin LA on Twitter. So in your opinion, we'll start with it being just Clarkson for Bradley. In your opinion, should the Lakers make that deal? Does that make them a better team? Does that, I mean, the point of it, right? I think we're both on the same page here, that the point of it is to clear salary for this upcoming free agency.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the numbers for Avery Bradley this year, like, that has to be the point of this deal. Like, since, this is from John Schumann, but since December 1st, the Pistons are 3-17 in games in which Avery Bradley has played. And they are also, like, he has, like, they're just never worse than when he plays. So they are minus 4.7 points per 100 possessions when Bradley is on the floor, which is the worst net rating of any Piston that has played more than 8 minutes. And they are also never better than when he is on the bench, in which, like, they are plus 4 per 100 possessions. He's been, between the record and between the numbers, it's just, you can't look at Avery Bradley and say, this is a guy that is for sure going to help you. Maybe the Lakers have some feelings that, you know, he'll look a little bit better in our system. He'll look a little bit better on our team. Like, they could think that, but, like, the way that he's played this year, there's really no reason to just, like, project that he's going to make them significantly better, in which case you have to jump to the next most logical option, like you said, the cap space. And so for, I think, that reason, I actually, if I was the Lakers and I had the stated goal of I need to get 2 max salary slots, and that's still, you know, they're trumpeting it from every rooftop they can, that's what they want to do, and they're acting like they already have that space. And so if I'm the Lakers, yeah, I think I make this deal, because I don't think that you're going to get more than a token asset for Jordan Clarkson. Avery Bradley is an expiring contract. I think you make this deal, and then that is at least one less salary that you need to clear.
To further reference how bad Bradley has been this year, if you were in, and look, Hollinger's analysis on trade results is kind of iffy. They do pop up every so often. You're like, that doesn't. The Lakers are getting Paul George and they're giving up KCP. How are they only three wins better, right? But I feel like in this case, it does represent what the result would be if the Lakers just swapped out Jordan Clarkson for Avery Bradley. The Detroit Pistons get one win better. Our Los Angeles Lakers get six wins worse.
And that's what, like, think about it. That's what the analytics on KCP not even being particularly good this year.
No. They're giving, so this is Clarkson for Bradley.
Oh, sorry, Clarkson. Yeah. Clarkson. But still, like, Clarkson, it's not like he's been, he's been playing, like he's been playing well lately, but he hasn't been good the whole year. Like, that's legitimately amazing to me that that's what the calculator turned out. Like, again, it's a calculator. There are flaws. You never know, like, how Avery Bradley's going to fit on this team. Maybe you think he'll fit in a little bit better. I don't know. I'm skeptical of that based on what we've seen and based on kind of the mixed reviews that analytics have had for Bradley going back to his Boston days.
It was weird. Even when he was in Boston, the numbers, the on-off numbers didn't favor him very well.
No, like, I believe Boston was better with, if I remember this correctly, from the last couple of years, it was like there were a lot of blogs that were coming out of Boston where it was like, the why are the Celtics better with Avery Bradley off the floor?
Yeah, and maybe, I mean, because defense is tougher to measure, maybe that's why some of the stats fall short on fully explaining what Avery Bradley means to an NBA team. But
100% agree.
But what they tell us right now, with the information that we have right now, he isn't very good. And then and that isn't taking into account the duplication he presents when you add him to a team that already has Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. We're going to talk about that here in a second.
So, yeah, Anthony, if the Lakers add Avery Bradley and they have Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, we make this reference a lot, but that's the two Spider-Men meme.
Yeah. No, they pass each other in the hallway and they point at each other. Whoa, yeah. Another me, right?
I got to give you some credit on this one because I believe that you called you call Avery Bradley KCP with a better driving record, which is just incredible.
I chuckled as I sent the tweet. I can't lie. But the issue is, so not only are you duplicating two guys, right? Not only are you going to have two guys that serve the same purpose on the same team, but you're taking away a potential ball handler when we don't know when Lonzo Ball might come back, right? Like, Lonzo, he's supposedly...
You might be dead. I don't know. I go, yeah. Like, we don't know where Lonzo Ball is.
He supposedly could miss anywhere from 1 to 3 weeks, but I feel like that was the diagnosis for his initial...
Well, so now it's what? It's an MCL sprain, correct?
Right.
Yeah, and so, like, that obviously inhibits lateral movement, and which is kind of important when you're playing basketball, at least if you're going to play both ends, and Lonzo's been very good on defense. So, I mean, again, it goes back to – we've talked about this before on the podcast, but the Lakers just have to really, like, bubble wrap him a little bit. You got to be careful with that guy.
And so if that is the case, then your backup point guard or your point guard depth – becomes really important if you want to be a good team. And this kind of gets back to the overriding point that matters to me is, look, the Lakers, we've seen what happens when their sole focus is to get better or is to remain as financially flexible as they possibly can, right? That we've seen them try it. LaMarcus Aldridge, Greg Monroe, Carmelo Anthony, LeBron, go on down the list. In each of the seasons leading up to those pursuits, the number one task that they had year in, year out was to sign guys on one-year deals, to maintain or draft well enough so that your rookies can outperform their rookie contracts and maybe get better that way. But we've seen the result of that. It hasn't gone very well, right? We know where this road kind of takes them, and the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and hoping for a different result. And so if you trade a Jordan Clarkson and you land an Avery Bradley, yes, as we mentioned earlier, you do free up that cap space, but by making your team worse, you now are hoping that Paul George ignores the second half of the season, right? You're basically telling him, look, this is what we were before we made that trade. And then all he has to do is ask, well, why'd you make that trade?
Right? Like, yeah.
And that's the concern here, is that eventually the Lakers do need to field a competitive team from the start of a season to the end of a season. And I'm sorry, I know Avery Bradley is this shiny new toy and this shiny new name, and he was once considered a really good defender in Boston by all of the propaganda guys out there, right? but that isn't the case anymore. He makes the team worse.
And like eye test wise, he does look like a good defender, and there are analytics that paint him as a good individual defender. It's just you got to keep asking yourself, why are all of his teams worse when he's on the floor?
Right. Would you agree then, though? The other thing to ask too is, who do you think is the better player here, Jordan Clarkson or Avery Bradley?
I think at this point you almost have to say Clarkson, as weird as that is to say, like with as down as everyone has been on him in recent years.
I would 100% agree. We said this before we went live, right? But I feel like a lot of these names or a lot of the backflips that people are attempting to talk themselves into some of these deals have everything to do with novelty and everything to do with being sick of the guys who in many way or in the vast majority of ways represent the worst half decade in Lakers organizational history. And so what you get is look, Avery Bradley was once good. And then we tend to forget, wait, what role would he play on the team? Wait, he actually hasn't been that good. Oh man, the Lakers are already pretty bad. Now we're going to make them worse. And once again, they're going to walk into these free agency meetings and have to promise these superstars the world when they don't have it to offer.
Yeah.
We are going to – I put a couple other trade ideas together to land Avery Bradley. Some of these – I don't know. I'll see what you have to think about them. But it really comes down to I don't want to give up Jordan Clarkson for Avery Bradley. I mean, we talked – I think was it last show or the show before that I would – the scenario that I would be okay giving up Clarkson would be for Isaiah Thomas. And that's because Isaiah Thomas plays point guard. And so you kind of, the team doesn't take as big a step back, though Thomas has been really bad this year. But I'll start with, we already talked about Jordan Clarkson for Avery Bradley. This one might piss you off. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Lakers send Corey Brewer and Ivica Zubac, and they get back Avery Bradley.
You know, why do you have to do this? I'm sorry. I heard Zubac, and I just had an anger aneurysm. It's Zubac and who?
Brewer.
Just Zubac and Brewer for Bradley?
Yeah. And they probably, I would anticipate they have to include a first rounder.
Yeah, and what's the point of that?
Well, you're trying to make the team better. Right. Like
they're both expiring at the, like they're all expiring at the end of the year. I don't know that I all kidding aside, I'm in all seriousness, not ready to give up on Zubac yet. I think that he showed a lot last year. I think that he had a rough summer league. And I think that obviously him not being in the rotation this year is concerning, but he still played pretty well in the G League when he gets minutes down there. And I think him not playing is more of Luke, and I've talked to him about this, and like he understands it. It's more of Luke wanting to go small, and there only being so many minutes for a traditional seven-footer, and right now all of those are going to Lopez. With Lopez leaving at the end of the year, I'm still not willing to just dump him for like Avery Bradley, who's going to expire, and is obviously a better player right now, don't get me wrong, but is going to expire and probably not be back.
All right, are you ready for some more fun with PER analysis here?
Sure, let's go for it.
So Zubac this season has appeared in how many games, would you say? Four or five?
Zubac has appeared in... I can't cheat. I have the stat sheet up, but I closed that tab. Zubac has appeared in 13 games.
Okay.
3.7 minutes per game.
All right, so he's been pretty non-existent in terms of the equation of what has been good or bad for the Lakers, right?
But not in our hearts.
Yours, your heart. Corey Brewer has played in how many games, would you say?
Corey Brewer has played in 45 games. He's played 571 minutes for this team.
And he wasn't very good in any of them. Well, no. Except for the Houston game. He was really good in the Houston game right away.
Yeah, occasionally Corey will cook.
Yeah. All right. Oh, man, the Clippers and Pistons are engaged in a serious... Per Woj, the Clippers and Pistons are engaged in serious talks on a deal centered on all-star forward Blake Griffin.
Wow, breaking news on this podcast that you will listen to tomorrow morning.
That's crazy. Well, all right. It's a good thing I already have Trade Machine open. But to get back to what the PER analysis of this, with Corey Brewer, who is one of the worst Lakers that we have seen this year, and Ivica Zubac, somebody whom we have not seen very much of, it does not affect the Lakers' win total at all that they would be trading those two guys for a starting shooting guard.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, Avery Bradley, like, it's clear that the analytics don't really favor him right now. Like, whether or not you agree with them is, like, a different question. But I think that, like, I haven't watched enough Pistons basketball to have a real good eye test feel for Avery Bradley this year. But just based on what everyone has told me, how Twitter discusses him, I just don't really see the point in making that deal if you're not just making it for cap space. And if the Lakers are going to deal Clarkson for nothing at some point, which it sounds like is probably what they're going to do, I mean, you might as well get it done before the trade deadline, I guess. That's kind of my stance on it.
I've reached the point here because I'm so low on Bradley that I would hope that the Lakers land a second rounder in return for Clarkson.
If he's not being shipped out for Blake Griffin, in which case,
yeah,
man,
yeah,
we're going to have to re-record a new podcast if that happens.
I'd be kind of annoyed. But the last trade that I put together here, because like I could theoretically put a Randall kind of deal together, right? But I would be livid if the Lakers shipped out Julius Randall for Avery Bradley. Like, you guys think I didn't handle the D'Angelo Russell trade very well. I would not be a happy camper.
Anthony would be leading a mob with torches and pitchforks through the streets of El Segundo.
Yes. It would not be pretty if that's how that turned out. But in this iteration, the Lakers are once again sending Corey Brewer to Detroit. They are once again landing Avery Bradley, and this time they are including Larry Nance Jr.
I mean, like, again, I don't know why they're going to give up more.
More than Corey Brewer? I don't think Corey Brewer is enough to...
No, giving up Nance.
Well, I'm saying giving up... Because you have to include, I would say, another piece in this trade, right? Other than Corey Brewer for Avery Bradley.
Yeah, I guess. But, like, so, Nance, like, is objectively a better player than Zubac right now.
Yeah, I would agree.
I wouldn't do that trade either.
I would, again, in this trade, hope that the Pistons send over...
Yeah, if they're sending back, like, a first rounder or something, or it's, like, you know, like, a late first rounder, or, like, I don't know what their draft pick situation is offhand, but if they're sending back a pick, then, you do that, probably.
The reason I put this trade together was because this is the deal that I reported that the Lakers offered to Boston in the summer, right? And I think the Lakers were including a second rounder. And so,
and, hey, like, we know Pelinka likes his guys, and Bradley is a former Pelinka guy.
He is. And so it's funny how far Avery Bradley has fallen this year, that this was a deal that wasn't even enough to get it done when he was a Boston Celtic. And now we're saying, hell to the no, would we make this trade?
Yeah, it's just that vine of the preacher singing hell nah.
No, yeah, I'm a pass on this, dog. We are going to take another quick break here, and on the other side of it, I want to talk a little bit about, because I didn't really get your thoughts on how the Lakers should handle this trade deadline, and where this type of trade talk, if it's Jordan Clarkson for Bradley straight up, where this leaves them. So we're going to let Harrison talk. Harrison, do you have thoughts on what I was talking about, this consistent theme that the Lakers are hoping that cap space alone is enough to convince free agents and not quality of the roster that free agent would be joining?
So I think, like, as far as how that affects the Lakers' approach to the deadline, like, it's pretty clear what their plan is. And their plan is to make it so that they can, like, have as much – they can have these two max slots and they can get these guys to team up. And maybe that's based on some inside info. They feel like they have a good shot at that. I don't know. But that's kind of clearly been their plan. It's been something that they've talked about. But at the same time, like you noted, is max cap space enough to just get two free agents to come? If they're desperate to play together, sure. But if they're not, then you have to kind of show them that you're the destination worth joining versus another one. And I don't know that the Lakers have shown enough to do that, but I also don't think that there's any move that they can make at the trade deadline that's going to significantly impact this, unless it's just getting more cap space. In which, like, if they can deal Luol Deng, then that probably shifts the calculus quite a bit. But they aren't going to be able to do that without including Kuzma, Ball, or Ingram, and I don't anticipate them doing that.
Nope.
And so I think that they are what they are, and they have to free up the cap space if they want to get these guys to come. But there's not some big swing to me that they can take that's going to make them like gangbusters down the stretch of the season, where free agents are going to be like, oh yeah, look at that, you know, they swung that move for that shooter and all of a sudden they look pretty good. I want to play with those guys.
I always return to what has worked in these cases that teams landed superstar, either free agents or trade targets, right? And it's really rare that these guys go to a complete rebuild. I don't think it's happened, right? LaMarcus Aldridge went to the Spurs, who were the Spurs. And that was after taking, 37 different meetings with the Lakers, right? He was trying to convince himself. He just, the Lakers bumbled over themselves so much that he said, okay, fine, I'll go to San Antonio,
right? Yeah, he couldn't talk himself into it.
and you know, Chris Paul goes to Houston. And now the people who are talking about LeBron's next step, a lot of them point to Houston. And they say if they can make it work financially between those three guys, that's LeBron's best chance at topping the Warriors, right? Speaking of the Warriors, KD goes to Golden State because they're a 73-win team, and he knew that that was the easiest way for him to win multiple titles in a row. And yes, let's say the Lakers are able to clear enough cap space and LeBron and Paul George are now on the table to potentially join up in L.A., can the Lakers honestly tell them that that's a good enough team just with those guys? And by the way, that's going to take up the majority of the cap. So now you only have exemptions and taxpayer stuff to be able to sign guys around those guys. And so will the Lakers realistically be able to talk to those guys and say, yeah, we're two of you guys away from being a title contender?
I don't think that they can. I think that they're going to have, like, their case is not going to be just basketball next year. It's not going to be this is what gives you the best chance next year. It's going to be this is what gives you the best chance over the next 5 years of your career. And I don't know if that's a compelling enough case to get these guys to come. But it's basically, as you start to decline, these guys are going to be good and they're going to be able to carry you.
Yeah. I don't know that
that's a compelling enough case to LeBron and to Paul George. Maybe it is if they really want to play together, but I don't know. I am dubious.
I am similarly.
And somebody's going to play this audio back when they get both these guys this summer and roast me and, you know, joke's on you. I get to cover the most relevant team in the NBA. So play that clip at the end of it.
Oh, man. This show's not going to get any better than that. There's nothing else to talk about.
Shouts to Kyle Newbeck. He inspired me to lash back out at the haters after his roast of that fedora-wearing Russell Westbrook stand last night.
I missed that. I'll have to go back and find that again. All right. That does it, though. I think the consensus here is, okay, fine, kick the tires on Bradley, but he pretty much objectively makes the Lakers a worse team. And as such,
the only point in dealing for Bradley is if you want the cap space. I think that's the conclusion that we're at, is the Bradley thing is a cap space move. And maybe a get Pelinka's guy in here and he'll play better because Pelinka magic move. I don't know.
Yeah, that won't happen.
I don't know. He seems like a pretty inspiring guy. I don't know. If I was around Rob Pelinka, I feel like I'd be compelled to do better work.
I feel like my
You're telling me all the time, like, my writing was, like, the mana from heaven that Lakers.com's SEO needed and, like, stuff like that. He seems like he'd be very inspiring to work for.
I feel like, because I am very sarcastic, I don't know if you've noticed, I would just, my eyes would be permanently stuck in the back of my head. Just from rolling my eyes all the time.
No, man, I'm all about the positive energy. I like being around positive people.
How has this worked?
I know, right? Because I'm such a cynic, but like it lifts me up a little bit.
All right, that'll do it, though. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll be back at it again tomorrow. Before we go, Harrison, you are working on a project that you are pretty proud of. It's already done, basically, as you've stated. So go ahead and plug yourself.
Yeah, so basically what I do for my Patreon subscribers that are at the Big Baller tier, that is $5 a month, and I release like a new one kind of longer form article each month, and it's going to be either tidbits kind of that just didn't make it into stories but were still interesting like around the team but just weren't like enough for full stories. In some months that's what I did last month. This month it's a more fully reported out singular story on the team's how like their synergy between the South Bay Lakers and the NBA Lakers. And I just like I spoke to some of the guys that got sent down. They've sent down a ton of guys to the G League this year, just about what that process is like, what the team tells them to work on while they're down there, what their mindset is going into it, how they feel that it helps them, if it does help them, what they try, like whether they're given more freedom to work in South Bay or just how all of that stuff works. And so I spoke to some of the guys like Josh Hart, Ivica Zubats, Gary Payton II. And I put together a piece on the late kind of like just how the whole South Bay Lakers relationship works. And I'm like pretty proud of the way it turned out. So if you guys would like to subscribe and support my journalism work, that'd be really cool. If not, you know, anything helps. You can go to my Twitter. It's my pinned tweet. There's like a link to my Patreon, link to my Venmo. This is really like kind of like a passion for me. And I want it to be my career, but I'm just not there yet. And so everything helps. So that's what I got.
Really quick before we go, and yes, go help out Harrison. He does okay work. Before we go, all this talk about Avery Bradley might be for nothing. It looks like Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer is reporting the deal that might be on the table. It's Blake Griffin for Avery Bradley, Tobias Harris, Boban Marjanovic, and a first-round pick. So
we may have to re-record this podcast.
Yeah. Enjoy maybe listening to this one. Maybe. Have a good one, everybody.